Would you turn to Romans chapter 12? And for you who are our guests, or for you who may have tuned in for the first time, we're in a series, an exciting series on spiritual gifts, discovering how the Lord has equipped us to live our life, to serve Him, and to relate to husbands and wives and our children, the people we work with, the people we worship with, and the people we play with. And Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 6, Paul describes for us here those seven motivational gifts. There are ministries, there are gifts of ministry, there are gifts of motivation, and then there are those manifestations, and this is the gift of mercy that we are discussing today. So he says, and since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, that is, by God's grace, He's gifted us in a certain way, let each exercise them accordingly. That is, everybody will not exercise their gift the way someone else does. Each one according to their gift. And then he describes them, prophecy according to the proportion of his faith, service in his serving, teaching in his teaching, exhorting in his exhortation, giving with liberality, leading with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And today the gift of mercy, which one of the 12 apostles would you think would be a beautiful example of the gift of mercy? John, that's exactly right. And as you read the gospel, for example, and as you watch how he related to Jesus Christ, whether it was during his ministry or at the end of his ministry when he was coming to the cross, you'll see the tender, loving John. And whenever you see he and Peter together, who is the most overbearing one? Not merciful John, but what? Prophecy Peter. And yet John is always there in that gift of mercy to meet a very specific need. Now, I've said to you this before, and I want to say again, that when it comes to the gift of mercy, sometimes a man thinks, well, that is a feminine gift, and I want to tell you, it is not a feminine gift. It is neither feminine nor masculine. It is a characteristic of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is a character quality that God wants all of us to express and to experience. But there are those who have that motivating drive of mercy. That is, in these seven motivational gifts, these gifts are the drives that motivate us in a ministry, whereby we are able to carry out the ministry God has given us with less wear and tear on us physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and more fruitfulness and productiveness in the way we carry it out. Prophecy, the first, mercy, the last. I wonder whether that was an accident or not. I don't think so. And as someone has said, the personal gift of mercy must be tough on the one hand, but very tender on the other. The person with the gift of mercy is the joy in the body. We talked about the mercy and about the prophecy in his message. We talked about service and their desire to meet a particular need. We talked about teaching, discerning the truth, being sure that the truth is spoken, that the truth is known. We talked about exhortation, desiring to mature the believers, giving, they're just live to give, organization, they're project-oriented, want to get it, all the pieces fit together. And now we come to the gift of mercy. Now, of all the people who can be misunderstood, I suppose this gift can be as misunderstood as any of the rest. The body of Christ, a family, every organization needs the gift of mercy. They just sort of equalize and balance off some things that probably oftentimes some other gifts would miss. And let me say this to husbands and wives as well as the children. And that is, God places within our environment, either in our family, in our church, or whether you're in a particular organization, a civic organization, or in the church, He places within us, for example, He places within us those gifts that are the strengths to someone else who may be weak in that area. He places a strength in someone else's life that will be, that is an indication of a weakness in us that strengthens us, so that God, I believe, when He has the privilege of bringing men and women together in marriage, I believe that God would surely, in seeing what His ultimate purpose is in that family, God would naturally balance off in His choice of spiritual gifts, bringing those people together, He will balance them off in order that the weakness of one is strengthened by the strength of another, and that person's weakness is strengthened by the other. I want you to listen to me very carefully. Whereas other gifts can be hurt, the mercy gift, if you're married to one, I want to tell you something. You may look at this and see, my goodness, is that what I've been doing? Is that the reason he acts the way he acts? Is that the reason she responds the way she responds? Because the mercy gift is a very, very tender gift and can be hurt. So I want us to go through these and you look at them and think about your children. If your children have the gift of mercy, or your husband or your wife, someone you love dearly. First of all, the ability to feel an atmosphere of joy or distress on an individual or group. That is, a person with a gift of mercy. God has granted to them a level of sensitivity whereby they can walk into a group, into a family, into a large group, and they can discern the feeling level of where these people are. A person with a gift of mercy can sit down with someone else. Doesn't take them but a few moments to discern where the other person is emotionally, whether there's joy, whether there's sadness, and they may be able to cover it up from everybody else, but the mercy gift is able somehow to discern what their feeling level is. And that is very basic to how God uses the gift of mercy, because they operate so often on a feeling level. Number two, a tendency to be attracted to and understand people who are having mental and emotional distress. For example, a person with a gift of service may see a person in need, and what they see is the physical problem. It may be a sickness or financial need or something else. The person with the gift of mercy looks right past the physical need and is able to sense that person not only has a physical problem, but they're hurting on the inside. And not only that, a tendency to be attracted to that person, not just discern it, but move in that direction. And you'll find people who will attract people who have that kind of problem. And you've seen people like that. It just seems that some types of people just gravitate to them. You don't see those people who have mental and emotional disturbances gravitating toward the prophet or necessarily toward the teacher, but somehow they just gravitate. They're drawn. It's as if they sense in the spirit of their mercy a tenderness, an openness, a willingness, a capacity to vicariously suffer. Now, to vicariously suffer means that the person with the gift of mercy is able to project themselves into the other person's problem, get under that emotionally with them, feel what they feel, hurt with their hurts, and at the same time rejoice even in the midst of it. The person with the gift of mercy is the joy. The person with the gift of mercy is God's gift of joy and cheerfulness in the body of Christ. Because you'll notice that person is to exercise their gift with what? With cheerfulness, that is, with joy. The person with the gift of mercy has been described as the person who has the capacity to weep with joy over someone else and with someone else who is hurting. And all of us need someone to hurt with us at times. All right, number three, a desire to remove hurts and bring healing to others rather than to look for the benefits of hurts. Now watch. We said on one of these previous gifts that one of these gifts is able to watch somebody hurt, and because they know the purpose of the hurting and because they're able to realize that God uses our hurting and uses our sorrows and never wastes our sorrows, that the person with this particular gift says, hurt, hurt, let them hurt. Don't mess up the hurting, let them hurt. The person who is willing to let them hurt because they foresee through the hurting, God taking advantage of the hurting to build that person up and to bring them up. Which gift is willing for people to hurt and see that as a very vital part? What is it? Exhortation. The gift of exhortation says, no, wait a minute, mercy, hold it. Don't move in and really alleviate the pain. Let them hurt. The gift of mercy says, let them hurt. The gift of exhortation says, let them hurt. Why are you going to let them hurt? Because hurting is a vital part of what God wants to do. How do you know what God wants to do? Because that's one of the steps in bringing them through it. I can't afford to see them hurt. Look at them hurting. So that exhortation, mercy, can sometimes clash if mercy doesn't understand the principle that hurting is a vital part of God's process of alleviating and bringing this person through whatever situation they're going through, which God is using, listen, to bring them to the end of themselves. We must remember, every mercy gift must remember that hurting, listen, hurting is a part of the process of bringing the person to the end of themselves, where they have to cry in desperation, "My God, my God, my God, my God, I surrender." The mercy doesn't ever want them to get to that point. They just want to cry out, "Oh my God," one time. Mercy goes rushing in, putting their loving arms around them. "You shouldn't hurt like that. You shouldn't have to hurt." But when a mercy understands how God operates, even a mercy can allow them to hurt, but it is so difficult to allow them to hurt. And all the time, they just sneaking up on them, slipping up on them, want to help them while they're hurting. Because you see, God made them very loving and very sensitive. All right, number four, a greater concern for mental distress than physical distress of others. For example, the gift of service is, "My goodness, let's correct that in a hurry." The gift of organization says, "We'll organize and get that all worked out." And the gift of mercy could care less about all the physical things. What they're interested in is the mental and emotional, the inner hurts, the inner healing that needs to take place, the inner frustrations, the inner fears, the inner sense of sorrow and loneliness and frustrations and fears and anxieties and desperation, hopelessness. The mercy gift is rich. Listen, whereas the prophet reaches out with words, the gift of mercy reaches out with what? Genuine love and caring. Genuine love and caring that is uplifting and soothing and healing. And so they are oftentimes attracted to that person who has a mental distress more than a physical one. Number five, a sensitivity to words and actions which will hurt others. Now listen, if you're around a person who has the gift of mercy and you say something critical, a little harsh about someone else, everything in mercy flies up because they are so sensitive to other people's needs and hurts. And we're going to watch in just a moment how all these fit together. And they fit so closely. The person with the gift of mercy oftentimes hurts immediately when they hear us say something of a critical nature towards someone else. They live with this radar sensitivity. They know how they hurt, and they can be easily hurt. And they know how they feel and how they hurt, so they know how the other person hurts. So when you say something critical about someone else, they immediately project themselves in that situation, they're able to hurt, and sometimes if they're walking in the flesh, they can come back rather harshly and say, "Look, you don't know what you're talking about," and sometimes maybe set us in our place. Number six, a tendency to react harshly when intimate friends are rejected. Now, a person with a gift of mercy is naturally very, very loyal. And when they see or hear one of their friends being rejected, that's very, very difficult for them. And so what happens is they're going to react harshly because of their loyalty and their faithfulness to another person. When that person is rejected, what do they naturally do? They project themselves into that situation and they listen, here's what they do. A person with the gift of mercy can hear and see in an incident one of their friends or loved ones being rejected. They can instantaneously project themselves into that person's situation. They can take the sensitivity of rejection, feel that rejection, and quickly respond almost faster than you can blink your eye because they are sensitive people. It doesn't mean that they live by emotion only, and sometimes they can. It doesn't mean they live by emotion only, but God has placed them, listen, He's placed the mercy gifts into the family and the church to keep the rest of us on level and on balance by our responses and reactions and what we may feel like we'd like to say sometime. The personal gift of mercy is very sensitive to anything critical in rejection by a person who is one of their friends. Number seven, an ability to sense genuine love. Now watch this one. This is very important, especially if you live with one. An ability to sense genuine love and a greater, first of all, now watch this, two things. An ability to sense genuine love. Now they can sense genuine love and they can also detect when it's insincere, when it's only out of the mouth, only out of the lips, when it's only a fake, when it's only false, when it is plastic, when it is not real. The person with this gift of mercy, they can tell it in a second. They can sense genuine love and they have a greater ability, listen, they have a greater vulnerability to deeper and more frequent hurts from the lack of love. Now listen, because they are sensitive and because they can project themselves in that kind of a situation, they are more vulnerable to these deeper and more frequent hurts and lack of love. Now you take a person who has the gift of mercy. Friend, they can be hurt more easily than some other people. The gift of prophecy says, well, man, don't fret about it. Just don't worry about it. And the gift of mercy is injured over here and grieved in their heart. Here's how it works. When we are strong, very strong in one area, sometimes we're more vulnerable in others. Listen to me. The person with the gift of mercy, if you're married to one, they need to sense your protective care. You see, the personal gift of mercy, they're giving of themselves and giving of themselves, and they are more vulnerable. They're more vulnerable to more frequent hurts and deeper hurts than probably any of the other six gifts, because you see, they're so sensitive to other people's needs, they're more easily hurt. More easily feel that rejection, because you see, they live on a level that God's made them sensitive to meet other people's needs. But on the other hand, that person can be very easily hurt, more vulnerable to hurts and rejection by other people. So that a person who has the gift of mercy, if you're living with one of those persons and they sense a lack of love, listen, they're deeply, deeply, deeply grieved. And this is why oftentimes husbands and wives pull apart. Or a husband or wife can pull the shade down on each other because they sense a lack of love or that it's insincere, and a person with the gift of mercy, everything in them just brings the shade down. And you see, whenever a person with the gift of mercy senses that, what they do is they back off. They begin to back off. They may try and bore in, and then they back off because you see, they hurt on a deep, deep, deep level. Listen, the reason they can hurt on such a deep level when they are hurt is because they can hurt on such a deeper level vicariously with and for other people. So listen, what they're able to do for others so genuinely and so effectively, God has given them the capacity to feel for themselves. Why do you think they can hurt so deeply for someone else? Because they can hurt deeply themselves. If a person with a gift of mercy if that person were not able to sense and to feel and to hurt very, very deeply and to sense rejection so deeply, they would not be so sensitive to other person's needs. So if you are living with a mercy child, my friend, be very, very careful, because you can hurt them and never understand it. You can hurt a husband or a wife and never realize what may be natural and normal for you would be absolutely disastrous to them emotionally. Very, very important we understand our gifts and understand the gifts of those about us so that we can respond to them in a proper manner. Number 8, a need for deep friendships in which there is mutual commitment. Now, naturally, listen, a person who is sensitive and able to feel hurt, a person who needs love and needs acceptance, naturally, they need a sense of commitment. You see, I believe that if we really understood the gifts, understood each other, and understood ourselves, there would be far, far, far less of what we see in our society, people just going to bed with each other and living together and back and forth and off and on. Because you see, God made marriage to be a commitment. And you see, the mercy gift understands about commitment. The mercy gift needs commitment. The mercy gift gives commitment. The mercy gifts needs commitment because they give of themselves on such a deep, abiding level. And so not to have that sense of commitment grieves their heart. Number 9, a need to measure acceptance by physical closeness and quality time together. You see all these fit together? Quality time together. The gift of mercy. You want to grieve the gift of mercy? You go to breakfast in the morning after she has prepared your breakfast, and you sit there and read the newspaper and have it up in front of you, or you're at home at night and you're watching television, or you've got your mind on something else, and the gift of mercy is trying to talk, and you've got your mind on something else. The gift of mercy is absolutely, it's destructive in the relationship. Because you see, physical closeness and quality time together. Now you say, well, I don't understand that. Why that? I'm going to tell you why. Now watch this. Every single one of us has responsibilities or activities in our life that drain us. Now you can be drained physically from digging a ditch, or as a counselor, you can be drained emotionally from listening to people all day long. Or whatever it may be, you may have a physical job, but there's a lot of emotional things going on. All of us at times are drained. And you see, the more we are drained on an emotional and spiritual level, the more we need to have that emotional and spiritual cup renewed. For example, if you get drained physically, you go to bed and get a good night's rest and eat a good dinner or something, and you feel renewed and refreshed. All right, so that's pretty simple. But if a person is continuously being, listen, if they are continuously being drained emotionally because of a relationship, or and they're continuously being drained spiritually, but emotionally they are being drained because of the circumstance in which they live, they need to have their cup refilled, their battery recharged, so that a person with the gift of mercy needs closeness and intimacy and genuine expression of love. That's why, if a person is married to one, my friend, it is very, very, very important that that person have quality time and a sense of physical closeness and intimacy and genuine awareness of commitment, or what? Or they suffer on a deeper level than most of us could imagine. All right? Number 10, an enjoyment and unity with those who are sensitive to the needs and feelings of others. Listen, people with a gift of mercy are not attracted to a bunch of critics, folks who are negative and critical and tearing down this and destructive the other. A person with a gift of mercy, now they may be your friend, but I'll tell you, they don't like the way you act. If you're criticizing and judging and this, that, and the other, and so forth, because the gift of mercy takes all of that. And you see, already they project themselves in another person's life. And whereas they see oftentimes why this person may respond the way they do, some other gift is critical, they have a very difficult time having close fellowship and intimacy with a person who's negative and full of criticism. Number 11, a tendency to avoid firmness until he sees how it will bring benefit and eliminate greater hurts. Now, a person with a gift of mercy, because they want to help, and because they hurt when someone else is hurting, they have a tendency not to express or to experience firmness in a given situation which may demand firmness. That is, unless they see that God is up to something in this person's life and the hurting is a part of God's plan to bring them through it. Now, I think if you'll just think about this for a moment, how rational and reasonable this is. If God's in the process of working on this fellow here, and God's got the pressure on him, and God's trying to do something, and mercy comes rushing in, who gets the pressure? Mercy gets the pressure. God doesn't want mercy in that till he has accomplished what he wants to accomplish. Then that person may need those around him or her to help in the healing process. So very important that mercies understand there is a correct time to express mercy, not right at the crucial point when God has them at the point of hurting, where they're just about to give up in absolute desperation. Now, let me say something to you, dear wives, for just a moment. When your husband is hurting, and you know that God's really working on him, now he's probably going to shoot me after the service, but that's all right. When you see God's working on him, and I mean God's just wiping up his platter, I mean he's just really scrubbing him, he's got him in the mud, he's down in the valley, he's hurting, he's bleeding all over the place, and you as a loving wife, oh, say, honey, I just can't allow that to happen to you. I want to tell you something. You are prolonging God's activity in his life if you mess it up. Now listen to me. Sometimes the most difficult thing in the world is have to back off and let somebody we love dearly hurt till they can't hurt any longer. Don't get in God's way. The same thing is true of the husband. If you see God working in your life, in the life of your wife, and she's hurting, and you just want to get in and just take care of all that, and you don't want her to hurt, be sure that you're not stepping into what God's doing in her life. When you see your children hurting, listen, every parent, there's an inbred something within us. The last thing we want to happen is to see our children hurt. Oh, God, we don't want them to hurt. What do parents say? Well, you know, I never had it, so I'm going to be sure they get it. That's probably one of the worst ideas we ever came up with. I don't want my children to hurt. Let me hurt, God, but don't let my children hurt. I'm sorry, God doesn't operate on that level. Sometimes they're going to have to hurt and hurt and hurt, because you see, the reason God has matured you and brought you where you are is because somebody let you hurt. Now you see, your response is, oh, but I have the gift of mercy and I can't see my children hurt. I don't want them to hurt. I want to alleviate the hurt. I know you do, but God doesn't. Now some things, of course, we know naturally we want to correct. But when God puts our children in the vise and he cranks it up and we hear him sharpening up the knife, oh Lord. We check the sandpaper, and he's got the sandpaper out, and they begin to weep, and the old parents, we don't know what in the world God's doing to us. Friend, you be careful, the gift of mercy, that you don't get under the burden of your children and get in God's way of maturing them and equipping them and building them up and edifying them and preparing them for what God wants to do. Now, it's very, very difficult for mercy to stand by and listen and even watch God do it. It's difficult for mercy to stand back and watch God work his work of grace in somebody's life, even when mercy knows God's up to it. So you have to be very careful at that point. All right, number 12, a closing of their spirit to those who are insecure or insensitive. Now, when a person is detected by mercy as being insincere, you see, here's the thing about mercy. Mercy is willing to get then hurt with someone else. They're willing to get in the burden. They're willing to take it upon themselves. They're willing to be open. Listen, mercy walking in the Spirit is willing to risk loving and risk rejection by others, because God has given them that capacity to get on the inside of the other person and cuddle them and love them emotionally and bring them back. When mercy sees insincerity in service, insincerity in love, insincerity in speech, insincerity in actions, you know what mercy does? Mercy just closes the curtain on that person. Because they can't stand insincerity, hypocrisy, and lying, dishonesty, and deceit. God made them extremely sensitive and aware, as we said in the very first one, of what's happening all about them. Now, that person can be very easily misunderstood if you look at number 1 in section 2. The sensitivity to the spirit and feelings of others may cause some to feel he or she is guided by emotion rather than logic. Now, because that person is a caring, compassionate, loving, accepting, forgiving person, it may appear to others that they do not operate on the basis of logic, but purely emotion. Now, granted, sometimes that may be true of that person, but that's a misunderstanding oftentimes, because that's not what they're operating on. They are motivated. Their driving motivation is to get in on the inside and help this person who's hurting. And whereas that's where their motivational gift lies, it may appear that the only thing they're concerned about is feelings, and that they operate on feelings, when they may have very clearly thought through exactly what they're doing. Number 2, an avoidance of firmness may appear to be weakness and indecisiveness. Now, you know, the prophet, the teacher, the person with the gift of exhortation may be able to move and be very firm. It is the tendency of the person with the gift of mercy not to express firmness, but tenderness and love and acceptance. So, whereas the prophet and the exhorter and the teacher goes rushing in, the mercy doesn't rush in. The mercy gently, lovingly, and carefully moves in to do what? To create a healing atmosphere by their words, by their presence, by their touch. The mercy touch probably is lighter than any other touch. But it may carry with it a greater and deeper message than any other touch. Sensitive, loving, caring, forgiving, accepting. And you see, the truth is that when any of us are going through an emotional problem in our life, where we are drained or being tempted or tried, or God has us in the valley or Satan's working us over, all of us want God's tender, loving, merciful, caring acceptance to come through somebody and not just out of heaven. We just want the encouragement. That's why God places the mercy gift in the fellowship. All right? Number three. Now watch this one. The sensitivity to words which the mercy gift has and actions, sensitivity to words and actions which cause hurt may to be appear to be taking up another person's offense. For example, and the gift of mercy, when they're out of fellowship with God, they can. You have a person, the gift of mercy, and they hear someone else being criticized. I mean, they rare up, and I mean, they want to defend, and they'll tell you right now that you are dead wrong. You don't have the facts. You don't know what the situation is. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, and shame, shame, shame on you. And by the time the gentle, sweet mercy gets through with you, you feel like a pile of powder. Because their motivation is right. It's just that they've gone about it the wrong way of taking up somebody else's offense. What they're saying is, don't criticize them. You don't know how they feel. You don't know why they're where they are. And if you understood what they understood, and if you felt what they felt, you wouldn't say what you say. So they're very prone sometimes to take up someone else's offense. And their sensitivity to words and actions to say, well, now, I don't think that was very kind. They may be dead right. But the prophet or the teacher or the organizer may think, well, that's none of your business. But you see, the gift of mercy, it makes it their business when somebody else is being hurt or is hurting. Number four, the ability to detect insincere motives may cause some to feel he's hard to get to know. Now, when a person has the gift of mercy, when they detect insincerity, what do? They don't just purposely say, I don't like you. They just sort of back off. And that person is not hard to get to know. A person with the gift of mercy is the joy in the church, is the cheerfulness. That's the gift of cheerfulness and joy. They're not hard to get to know, but it appears that way to some because they don't like insincerity or sham of any type. And whereas they are willing to move in on someone who's a little shammy if they're hurting. But if everything's all right and they're insincere and a little deceitful, they just back off on that kind of person. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully if you're a parent or if you're a son or a daughter. I want you to listen to this next misunderstanding because it is extremely important. Number five, the attraction and understanding of those in distress may be misinterpreted by those of the opposite sex. Now, let me give you an example of this. Let's say, and back during the hippie time and the drug culture which we have today, let's say that here's a fellow who gets hooked on drugs. And here comes along a fine, wonderful, sweet, loving Christian gal who has the gift of mercy. And she meets this fellow, and in the course of their conversation, he begins to share how he's hurting on the inside. He feels rejected. He feels lonely. He feels anxious. He feels frustrated. He feels hopeless. He feels desolate. He feels disillusioned with all of life. He is so disappointed with his parents. Nothing's working out. He doesn't know which way to turn. Nobody seems to care. Life just one big meaningless existence, and here comes sweet, loving Miss Mercy. And this fine Christian gal knows that Jesus Christ is the answer. He's the deliverer. He can be that person's peace. He can be that person's joy. He can be that person's help. He can relieve them. He can alleviate the suffering. And so what does she do? Now I want you to watch me very carefully here. Here's what happens. First of all, Mercy reaches down and says, I'd be happy to help you out of that. Now, I want you to watch me carefully. Mercy reaches down. And so, because of that tenderness and because of that gentleness and because they're able to suffer, Mercy says, listen, I really do want to help you. And so, Mercy reaches just a little bit lower. And Mercy does everything they can, but all the time, because of that sensitivity and that desire to help, What mercy doesn't realize is that little by little, mercy, before too long, has come down here where the enslaved fella is, and both of them are trapped by the same sin. Now, in mercy's mind, she's still up there trying to help the fellow who's in trouble down here. But I want to tell you something. We have to be very, very careful, those of you who have the gift of mercy, that you don't get down on the level with the person you're trying to help to the point that you can't help them. Now, you see, it started off in her mind, she was reaching out to someone in need, like she'd reached out to many people. But you see, little by little, the reaching out and the reaching in and the reaching down finally, before long, she was right down there where they were. There are a lot of folks who've been hooked on drugs, alcohol, sex, you name it, with a gift of mercy, who started out to help someone else in need, who ended up having to have someone else reach down and help them. A second part of this same misunderstanding here is this. Let's say, for example, that you're a man and you meet this young lady who has a problem, and she says things are really bad, and you can tell she's hurting. Now watch this. You can tell she's hurting. Your motive is as pure as untarnished gold. You see somebody hurting, and you're in your motivational gift of mercy, you want to help them. And so you reach out to say, I'm just going to be praying for you. Week goes by, and that person has found somebody that they can unload their heart to. And so she says to this fellow, she says, could I just tell you how I feel about something? And mercy, yes, indeed, you can tell me how you feel. Still motives, pure as untarnished gold. So she shares her heart. And so, of course, mercy is tender and loving and accepting and forgiving and kind and reaching out. And maybe this woman lives with somebody who's everything but that. And so what happens is, because this man moves in her direction, in genuine sincerity, out of a motivational gift of mercy to help her through a time of difficulty and to pray for her and to understand her and to support her and to encourage her, what happens is the natural thing happens. She begins to emotionally begin to lean on not her husband who fell when she tried to lean on him, but she begins to lean on someone else. And so she begins to lean on this man. And before long, without realizing what's happening, he likes the leaning. And before long, the gift of mercy is involved in something that he and she never intended to become involved, but it was all motivated by genuine love to help someone else. I say that, my friend, to say this to you. If you have the gift of mercy, whether you are a man or a woman, a teenage girl or a teenage boy, be careful that you are not misunderstood by the other person, that your motivation is mercy and love, untarnished by God's grace within you to reach out and help the other person, not to become involved with them on a level that is deeper than simply being a tool in God's hand to show them the right way, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is indeed the answer to everything. Listen. Jesus is the answer, not to most things, but he's the answer to everything. You say, well, now that's sort of a cliche and religious preacher talk. No, it's not. Well, let's say, yes, it is. It is if you don't understand what I mean by having a personal relationship to Jesus Christ, who gives meaning and purpose to life. Once you understand that, then that's not religious. That's not just talk. That is the pure gospel truth. It is the truth that gives meaning to life, that Jesus Christ is everything. He's the answer to everything. And the person with the gift of mercy must learn and must be able and must be careful and cautious that in moving towards someone who has another gift or someone who has a need, that need is met, but that is not interpreted as desiring to become emotionally involved with that other person. All right, now, how does this person respond when they're in the spirit? How do they respond when they're in the flesh? Now, each of these, there's a positive and a negative side. How does that person who has the gift of mercy walk when they're walking in the spirit? How do they walk when they walk in the flesh? How do they act? So here we go. First of all, If you'll jot these down, because these are not in the bulletin, there are seven words. Here's the positive side of the gift of mercy. When they're walking in the Spirit and the Spirit of God is living and controlling their lives. Number one, attentiveness, naturally. They are very attentive to what's going around them. A person with the gift of mercy knows what's happening in their environment. Secondly, sensitivity. That is, their radar is out all the time. They know what's going on. Number three, fairness. Very, very fair is the gift of mercy. Number four, compassion. That is, they have the capacity to feel and to suffer with other people. And then number five, gentleness. They move in gently, lovingly, slowly, meeting the need, sensing where the other person is. Deference, that is, willing to submit, willing to give the right to someone else, respecting other people's rights. And then meekness, that is, a spirit of humility, willing to suffer and willing to bear other people's criticism if necessary in order to suffer and bring the other person through it. Now, these are all beautiful characteristics of a person with the gift of mercy. But like any other gift, you let sweet, wonderful mercy get out of fellowship with God and get in the flesh, and what do you have? Their attentiveness turns to what? The word unconcern. They could care less whether anybody else is hurting or not, or whether you're hurting or not. Instead of being sensitive, callousness. I mean that sweet, tender, slight, touchy skin is turned into an alligator hide. I mean, you can punch it and it won't move. Fairness, very, very partial. Choosing sides, partiality. Instead of compassion, total indifference. They could care less who's hurting or if you're hurting or why you're hurting. Instead of gentleness, a harshness. A harshness in their response when they're in the flesh. Instead of deference, rudeness. I mean, they can be rude. And then instead of meekness, anger. I mean, here is tender, loving mercy, and tender, loving mercy can explode in a volcanic anger. And you think, what in the world happened to you? What in the world happened is the same thing that happens to all of us when we get in the flesh we aren't fit to live with. Would you stand as we pray together? Now, Father, we're so grateful to you that you said in your word that you predestinated us before the foundation of the world to be conformed to the likeness of Christ. That is, you were at work in preparation for our life before we were ever born. Knowing that we would be providing that spiritual gift that would best fit what you have required and called each of us to do and to be. So we just want to say thank you today for loving us enough that you're not depending on us, we're depending upon you. And you have equipped each and every one of us adequately, sufficiently, thoroughly. If we will discover that gift, exercise that gift, cultivate that gift, utilize that gift, then we will indeed, each and every one of us, be valuable, choice, productive, fruitful servants of thine who will glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, edifying and building up one another, balancing off the gifts of the others, making complete and whole families, churches, organizations, groups of people, friendships. Thank you, dear Father, that you didn't make us all alike. You made us all wonderfully and excitingly different. Temperaments are different. Gifts are different. And whereas there may be many things alike within us, you've made us so wonderfully and excitingly different that we are drawn to those who are different from us and just magnetized by them, not desiring to be like them, but sensing a need in our life that they have, and therefore wanting that need to be met. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, that each one of us is the answer to somebody else's need. And for that we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.